All right, good morning once again. And welcome to our worship service. So this is it. The wait is over and Christmas is here. And we talk sometimes about how the Christmas season just seems to start so early and seems like right after Thanksgiving. Everybody is getting ready for Christmas and preparing and decorating and getting gifts. Something we all look forward to. And I think one good thing about that is that it lets us anticipate for a good month the coming of Christmas. December is always looking forward to Christmas. And I think it lets us identify in a small way with those in Bible times who were anticipating the arrival of the Messiah and looking forward to it, its coming. So what is Christmas to you? And I know there's a lot of different opinions about Christmas. You know, some people just ignore Christmas and it's just another day. And even Christians who take that approach, and they have their reasons that I won't go into. But yeah, it's just another day. And maybe there's some people who observe it in just a secular sense only. They'll do all the decorations and certain Christmas traditions that they might have, call it Xmas, just secular, nothing religious about it. And then maybe there's some who might try to remember the Christmas story in the middle of their gifts and family time. And if I'm honest, I'm probably closest to that view. But as we think about this Christmas season and the many different ways that people look at it, let's not forget the incredible changes that happened because of this story and the story of Jesus. There was a professor one time who had asked his class what they think is, or what in their minds, what is the most influential book in history? And then he added one detail at the end. He said, besides the Bible. And students are thinking about it. And this one student is thinking about this, and he raises his hand, and he says, so what you're saying is that the Bible is the most influential book, and you want us to think about the second most influential book. And he was very observant, because it's true. Without a doubt, the Bible has been the most influential book, and the central character in the Bible is Jesus. So I would like to tweak that a little bit this morning, and instead of thinking about books, let's think about people. And I would like to say this morning that Jesus was the most influential person in history. And it's not just me saying this. Historians have said this as well, and even non-Christian historians have noted this. There's many people who have left a big impact on the world, but none so much as Jesus. And one of the most obvious ways that we probably encounter most every day is how we calculate our years. Whenever we write the date, the year is 2022. And what is that based on? If you go back to year zero, you know, time was still years before that, but it's based off the life of Jesus. And there's only one person who can claim that we calculate the years off of his life, and that's Jesus. And that's the year 2022, and we call it AD, and it stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. It's Latin for in the year of our Lord, and our Lord is Jesus. One of the words that we hear around this time of year is Advent. Some people prefer to call the Christmas season Advent, and different ways of calling this time. And Advent basically means the arrival of something important. And you can look at different things in history that have made big changes. You think about the advent of the printing press. You can look before and after and see changes. The world changed because of the printing press and the automobile, vehicles, a way of transportation, or smartphones and the internet, and all that changed with that. It's something big being introduced that changes life. And we find that very true with the advent of Jesus. You can look before and after and see the difference. Jesus left a huge mark on the world. And I could go through history, and it would be interesting to look at all the big changes that have happened because of Jesus, and things such as human rights and humanitarian aid and even education. These all have their roots in the Christian church, and it all goes back to Jesus and his teachings and his mark on the world. And it's actually interesting and scary to hear people talk about how human rights are just a figment of the imagination, because they recognize that it goes back to Christianity, and they reject that. And there's so much more that could be said about that, but I would like to focus on Matthew's account of the Christmas story and look at three short points from his description of how the coming of Jesus was significant. So if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and I will read verses 18 through 25 and pull three points of significance from this story here. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So, I have three short points that I would like to pull from this story that Matthew gives here about the significance of Christmas. And I'd like to go through those. I don't want to keep us late. I know it's Christmas, and we probably all have plans later on today. I want to keep it short. So first of all, we'll look at the significance of his coming. Jesus was anticipated, and his coming was the fulfillment of that expectation. And I'd like to look at verses 22 and 23. It says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." And he goes on to quote from Isaiah chapter 7. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." So this was foretold by Isaiah, and it is one of the many prophecies and promises of a coming deliverer. And I'm not sure what all those prophecies were, and it depends who you ask. I know some people have made a list of all the different prophecies of what this coming Messiah is going to be, different details. But many references to a coming Messiah and the story of Jesus, and specifically his birth as well, aligned with those prophecies perfectly. You know, the birthplace. In our Sunday school lesson, we looked at Herod. These people coming and visiting and saying, where is he going to be born? And he calls up the priest and says, hey, where does the Bible have anything to say about this, or the scriptures? And they say, well, Bethlehem. And the approximate time as well was prophesied. You look in Daniel, he gives a prophecy on the time frame and his lineage. But these all gave detail on who this was going to be. And they were written ahead of time to identify, without a question, this promised deliverer. And when we read through the Old Testament, we see that it's written with the expectation of a Messiah coming one day. And there's a hope and anticipation there waiting to be fulfilled. And you could say the Bible is a story that leads us to Jesus. And I'm reminded again, looking at the Christmas story, how the Bible is just full of paradoxes. And a paradox is basically a truth that just doesn't make sense. And we find in the Christmas story a paradox. For our school program this year, the Christmas program, my daughters were singing a song, and the song title was How Should a King Come? And I don't know if you've heard that song before, but it goes through different expectations of what you would think, how a king should arrive. And it goes through different expectations. You'd think it should be in a gold coach pulled by a white horse, and there's crowds cheering and living in a castle. And then it changes and says, how did a king come? How did King Jesus come? And it's the opposite of what you would expect. It was a humble birth. And the first visitors were lowly shepherds who were the bottom of society. And the setting was a stable of some kind. And it just didn't line up with what you would expect. But this is how King Jesus, the most influential person in history, came into the world. And you look at what people at that time were expecting for a Messiah, and it didn't line up, and many people rejected him because he did not fit their expectations. They were wanting a conquering deliverer who would bring Israel back to its glory days, but that's not how it happened. Jesus came in humility, and he became the fulfillment of expectation of the prophets, the many prophecies that were given beforehand. And this was the moment that changed history. The second point I would like to look at is the significance of his name. And today we might not see as much significance in names, and we are in the process of selecting a name. I think we're getting to the end of that. I think we have it narrowed down. We have different reasons for picking the names that we do. It's got to sound nice. It's got to, you know, different parents have different objectives with names. And there's a quote from Shakespeare. He says, a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. And I think that's a lot of times the way that we view names. It's just something to identify people or things. And it's not to say that there's no meaning behind names. I think some people really do look into that a lot. But I think it was a lot more so in Bible times. And you look at different names of Bible characters, oftentimes they were chosen because of circumstances that they were going through, or maybe it was the parents' hopes and expectations for their child that they would select a certain name. So names meant a lot more in those times. And in Matthew, verse 21, we see that his name was chosen by the angel. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the meaning of his name reflects his purpose. That's going to be my last point, so I won't mention that as much. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And this was his calling, to bring salvation. And that's reflected in his name. So every time people said his name, he was reminded of his calling. And verse 23, we see another name as well that he's going to be known by. Verse 23, she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And it gives the interpretation, God with us. This is a name that he would be known by. And this was literally fulfilled as God became human and lived as a man. Like it says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we can marvel at this mystery of the incarnation of God becoming human. How does God inhabit a human body? How does that work? And I can't explain that. We don't know how it works, and there's been many arguments on that, but we accept that as truth. God became human, and in a way that's the real focal point of Christmas, the mystery of the incarnation, and God emptying himself, like it says in Philippians 2, becoming human and living among us, God with us. So the significance of his name given here, as well as the other many other names that he's given. You look at Isaiah 9:6, there's a lot of names that are given to Jesus, and they each show or point to a calling and a purpose in his life. And that's what I want to look at for the final point, the significance of his calling. Jesus had a purpose and a calling on his life, like we see in the meaning of his name. Jehovah is salvation. And that was his purpose, the reason that he came, to bring salvation. Verse 21 says he will save his people from their sins. And we find, as we read through the Gospels, many times people misunderstood him because his mission and purpose did not line up with what people expected. There's a lot of misunderstanding and eventually rejection because of that. But even through all that, he never swerved from his purpose and his goal. There's another song that went through my mind. You may have heard it. It's called It's About the Cross, and goes through different aspects of the Nativity story and basically makes sure we don't miss the ultimate focus of the reason that Jesus came. And it talks about, you know, the manger scene. It's not just about the shepherds or the stable or these different parts of the Christmas story that we focus on. It's not just about that, but it's about the cross. And we can spend time looking at the Nativity story and Jesus' birth, but let's not miss the big picture of the purpose of his life that changed the course of history. So let's remember that this story is only the beginning. The miracle of the incarnation that was manifested in this story goes on and ends with a suffering servant dying for the sins of the world to bring salvation. And it's only because Jesus remained true to his purpose that he was able to change the course of history in the way that he did. And this is what we can benefit from today. The blessing to all nations that God had promised Abraham was finally made a reality in Jesus. And we can find freedom through salvation that Jesus has provided, through putting our faith and trust in him. So the coming of Jesus was significant in so many ways, and the course of history was changed because of his life and the beginning of the Christian church. He was the fulfillment of Old Testament expectations and the blessing to all future generations through his life, death, and resurrection. So let's not forget that this Christmas time, and let's consider the significance of this moment when Jesus came and when God chose to live among us and to save us from our sins. So may God bless each one of you as you go about your day today, different activities that we have. May we all experience that peace that Jesus offers through his coming to earth. So why don't we all stand for a word of prayer, and then after the prayer, Ben, if you would have a song for us, and then you can consider yourselves dismissed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas time, and thank you for this Christmas story that we can look at and consider the significance of what you have done in coming to earth, how it was a fulfillment of expectation, and consider the magnitude of the purpose that you had, and in fulfilling that, the peace that you can give to us and freedom we can find through salvation. I pray that you would guide each one of us today as we go about the rest of our days. Help us to honor you And I pray that we could spread the joy that you have given to us to others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.